If we say we're Christians, then we are to serve our God with a glad heart. Why? For the abundance of everything that He gives us. Or we'll drift from Him and we'll serve our idols. Our enemies will rule us. Sin will rule us. And we will be enslaved again. We will lack everything we need for happiness.
Welcome to Behold Your God Radio, featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. John Snyder. I'm your host, Matthew Robinson. The Christian life is like a journey along a path. It has a definite beginning point, and it does have a definite destination. Would you say that you're making progress on the path, or perhaps you've slowed the pace a bit? Today, Pastor Snyder shows us some pictures from Scripture that will be helpful to us as we strive to move forward in the Christian life. Let's listen.
Growing in the true knowledge of God is the great adventure for the Christian. The truths of God come alive when we bring them down into everyday choices, when we apply them and they transform us. But when we learn new things about God and don't apply them, then the truths of the Scripture, though they are true still, for us they become plastic and life is dry and Christianity is stale. And the enemy tells us that this is all there really is to Christianity. And it is a bit of a downer if you believe the enemy. And if you accept that lie, then you're tempted to begin to drift to other things. You still go to church, you still read your Bible and say your prayers, but the longing and the stretching of the heart toward God, well, that begins to fade because you start to fill up on other things, all because you believe the lie that Christianity really doesn't include anything more than new concepts. Progress, change in our life, in our choices, is essential to healthy Christianity. The cure is really not to join a new study group or to learn a new biblical truth, but it's to go back to the path of a follower, where we began Christianity, and to diligently bring the things you've been learning about God, the old truths that lie there in the back of your mind, and to bring them out and to dust them off and to make sure that they find a place in everyday life. Now, many passages in the Bible describe this life of Christian progress. And I think that the most helpful are those that give us word pictures that we can take with us throughout the day. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes from prison to this little church, and he gives us some of the clearest pictures of Christian progress. In fact, he gives us five pictures in this passage. Let me read it to you. He writes this, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so," and then he gives the pictures, "walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Now, what's the context of this passage? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, Paul scales the heights of Christology. He describes the fullness of God united to humanity in the person of His Son. And some of the grandest themes of the entire Bible are found in this wonderful paragraph. But in chapter 2, Paul says that the people are being tempted to try to add to Christ. He describes them as people who are being taken captive, or literally kidnapped, by the world's way of thinking. Now, Paul's cure for this temptation is not Christian isolationism. He's not telling them that they need to gather themselves into a holy huddle and have no contact with the outer world. Instead, we could describe Paul's cure in this way. A good offense is the best defense. In other words, Paul commands them to fill up on the fullness of Christ, and then they will not be distracted by the emptiness of everything else. This really shows up in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, when Paul says this, For in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, you have been made complete. What an astonishing claim. The fullness of God is in Christ, and you've been made full in Christ from that fullness. The infinite overflow, the boundlessness of God fills this life of Jesus Christ. And that is the environment in which the Christian lives. But now here's the question. How do you take that wonderful concept and apply it to Monday morning? I mean, how does that change the way I think and live between brushing my teeth and rushing out and getting in the car headed to work? How can we make that practical? How does the fullness of God in Christ Jesus become a very practical part of my life? And that's where verses 6 and 7 and those five simple pictures become so helpful to us. Paul says to the Christians, again, you received Christ. So now, and then he gives those pictures. Number one, walk in him. That is, you are rooted in him. You are to build up your life upon him. You are to be established in the faith of Christ or in the truth of the gospel. And you are to do this all with an overflow of gratitude. Now, these are biblical pictures that really work for any truth. We take any truth we find in the scripture. And these pictures of the Christian's progress, we can walk in that truth, we can get our roots down in it, build a life upon it, be established in it, and be grateful for it. Now, before we look at the five pictures, we do need to stop and say that Paul is speaking to a very specific group of people. This doesn't work for everyone. It only works for one type of person, those who have received Christ. That is essential. You cannot skip this reality of receiving Christ and make up for it by working really hard in the way that you walk or are rooted or build or established or are grateful. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, Paul talks about how the gospel came to Colossae and how it changed their lives. They've received the great realities of Christ. So before we go any further, let's ask ourselves honestly, have you really received this living Lord? Have you turned? Have you believed? Have you ever come to an end of yourself? Have you ever felt shrunk by his bigness? Have you ever felt dirty in light of his purity? Have you ever come to an end of all your self-help schemes? Has there ever been that great transaction where, having been emptied of all other hopes, and not daring to believe that he would love you, and feeling it would be right for you to be sent to hell, you find now he opened your eyes to understand the magnitude of the cross. And all your hope is there, and you surrender everything to the King who has loved you. All that you know of you is handed over to him, and all that you know of him is laid hold of by faith, and you'll never let him go. Have you received Christ? Or are you still using religion to clean yourself up and to fix your problems? There is a world of difference between the two types of people. Again, these five pictures of Christian progress can never be a reality in your life until that great transaction has occurred. But let's look at these five pictures. The first is this. The Christian is to walk in the reality of Christ. Now, what is the idea of walking? What does that bring to your mind? I can think of a few things. The first is this. Walking gives us a picture of everyday little choices. If we counted the steps that we took each day, there would be hundreds and hundreds of little steps to the kitchen, to the bedroom, to the car, around work, at church, at home, in the yard. Little steps that are a part of the day. We don't even think of them. There are many little choices we make in the day, And none of them may appear particularly spiritual. And so you may think that they're unimportant, but they are significant because it is in the midst of these thousands of little daily choices that the Christian life is to be lived. And if you separate God from these apparently unimportant, mundane little choices, how you raise the children, how you clean the kitchen, how you mow the yard, how you drive the car, how you eat lunch, what you listen to, how you respond to folks. If you hold God out of that and you only include God in the big spiritual important things, then your life ends up being empty. Your Christianity is like a shell. Paul says we're to walk in the truths of Christ. That is, everyday choices, the real small, common, insignificant ones, they are to be directed by the reality of Christ. Walk, make your little decisions in the reality of what you're learning about God. Second is a destination. Now, in the 21st century, we think of walking oftentimes as a thing we do for exercise. So you might picture a treadmill. That is the exact opposite of what Paul's talking about. The first century man walked to arrive somewhere. We're not to use Christianity or the truths of Christ like a treadmill to make ourselves spiritually fit and more spiritually attractive. There's a definite destination. The destination is Christ-likeness. We are to be living a Godward life. So at the end, when we see Christ face to face, we will be made complete in Him. You take a truth that you're learning about God and you walk in it. In other words, you ask yourself, how would this truth alter the way I make the small, common choices of today? And how does this affect the way I go toward the destination of Christ-likeness? Walking in the truth. Number two, being rooted in these truths. Now, here Paul says you're already rooted. So he's talking about being united to Christ when we trust in Christ, when we turn to Christ through the gospel, when we embrace Him, He becomes ours and we become His. That's what we experience. But underneath all of that is the work of the sovereign God. And the Spirit of God, Paul says, places us in Christ, unites us to Christ. We are now one with Him. We have a completely new position. That's what Romans 6 is talking about. Having been rooted in Christ, I need to daily sink my heart, my soul's roots down into His realities. In other words, I need to nourish my soul on the truths about God. And the great news that we find in Scripture is that no circumstance can in any way interrupt this great feast. Do you remember Psalm 23? David says to God, "You prepare a table before me." Where? In the presence of my enemies. Even a Christian life surrounded by the enemies of his soul, even that life can sink roots deep down into the great truths of Christ and find a feast. If you don't consciously fill up on Christ, if you don't sink your roots down into Him first thing every day, I think you'll find that you end up eating junk food instead. It's like a man that normally eats a healthy breakfast, but he's late for work. He throws his clothes on. He runs out the door. No time to make a proper breakfast. He stops at a drive-thru on the way in, and he just eats whatever junk he can get his hands on. You must nourish your soul first thing in the truths of God. You must satisfy yourself in Christ. Root yourself in Him daily. The third picture of Christian progress, building a life upon the truth of God. Now, what's the foundation of the Christian life? It's not the choices you're making. Christian choices, obedience or disobedience, these are never the foundation of the Christian's life. Order is critical in the New Testament. We have objective truths, what God does for us, what he does outside of us, what Christ did 2,000 years ago. These are the objective truths. They're not affected by the way we live. They're not affected by our beliefs. We can believe in Christ or we can reject Christ, but nothing changes. He still is the great Redeemer. He still carried the law, died for his church, was raised for their justification. Those are the objective truths. That's the foundation. And we are to build a life on that. In other words, justification, what God does to make you right with him. That's the foundation. Sanctification, the changes that occur in our souls, in our thoughts and desires and choices. That is what's built upon this forgiveness. Now, they're connected and they can never be separated. But they must not be confused. You can never build your life on what is happening inside your heart. You are shifting sand. You must build all your hope on Christ alone. But you must build. You must build every area of your life on the realities of Christ, not just the religious areas. Your personal life, your daily thoughts, your responses to people at work, and even more difficult, at home. What you say, what you do, what you refuse to do, how you dress yourself, how you eat, what you listen to, your leisure time, what you do in your entertainment, your personal life has to be built upon the great truths of Christ. You can't build it on the lies that you used to build upon. Your family life, your marriage, it must be distinctly different than a pleasant, admirable marriage of an unbelieving couple. How you love your children is going to be different now. How you respond to your siblings when you're an adult. How you respond to aging parents. Everything will be built on the realities of Christ. Your workplace, your church. In fact, there's no area that isn't to be built on the objective truths that Christ is the fullness of God and I can be full in him. All those truths that you're learning in the Bible become part of your experience when they become little bricks that are applied to every area of the life, and you build your life on that truth. The fourth picture, being established in the truth. Now, here I think we have the picture of maturity. To be mature in the faith, or to be established in the faith. Now, sometimes the Bible uses the word faith to describe your faith in Christ, your belief in his words, your trust, your dependence. And sometimes the word faith is used in the sense of the collective truths of the Christian doctrine, the Christian faith, we would say. What we believe in, the body of truth that is distinctly Christian. And I believe that's what Paul's main emphasis is here. You must get established in the great body of truth that is the Christian faith. It's not enough to have a shallow grasp of Sunday school facts. Now, how do you have that? Well, it's going to require a life in the Bible. What one man said to me recently, you must keep turning those pages. You wake up in the morning, you feel your need for God, you open the Bible, you turn your face to your Father. You plead with him, confidently plead with him that he would teach you whatever he wants to teach you today through this great book. As you read the passages and you come across wonderful themes, look at the cross-references. If you have a Bible with those cross-references, read a commentary alongside what you're reading in the Bible. Get to the bottom of things. Don't be satisfied with the surface. Go deep. Compare scriptures with scriptures. Make notes as you read. Go back and forth. Ransack that book to get established in these truths. and then apply them. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that real spiritual maturity comes when a life is trained through the practical application. In other words, obedience is a very important part of growing in your understanding. We are to be established in the truth. We are to be mature, to be unmoved, solid, anchored in a clear and mature understanding of the facts of Christianity, so that there won't be any more of this being tossed back and forth like waves of the sea with every new idea that comes out. So Christian, never, never settle for undigested truths. Chew them. Get them into every part of the life. Never settle for unapplied concepts. You must be, what Paul says, you must be established in this Christian truth. Now, that brings us to the last picture of Christian progress. We have to do all four of these. We have to walk. We have to sink our roots down in. We have to build a life upon and get an established, mature grasp of the realities of Christ. And we have to do that with an overflowing gratitude. It is not enough to do the first four. If you do the first four without the fifth, it's not real Christian progress. There is a great difference between a person who tries really hard to build a good Christian life on good truths, but is ungrateful, and a person who, because of what God has done for them, is gratefully building, walking, establishing, sinking their roots down in Christ. These objective truths that can't be altered ought to bring you the highest sense of gratitude. These truths outside Christ are terrible. It is frightening to learn about God if you are not being represented by Jesus Christ, if He's not your mediator. It doesn't matter how moral and good you are. But for the person who's been united to Christ, who has received Christ and been received by Christ, these truths fill the heart with gratitude. This is my God. I am His. Are you grateful? Do people know you as a grateful person? Would your family describe you as a genuinely, not perfectly, but genuinely grateful person? You must be if you're going to make progress. Take these truths, live in them, and remind yourself to be grateful. Do you remember the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28? In verses 47 and 48, Moses says to the people, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things." There are only two options. If we say we're Christians, then we are to serve our God with a glad heart. Why? For the abundance of everything that He gives us in Christ. Or we'll drift from Him and we'll serve our idols. Our enemies will rule us. Sin will rule us. And we will be enslaved again. And while we serve the old master, we will lack everything we need for happiness. Now, be practical. Every time you open the Bible and you come across a verse that describes God, that describes the fullness of God in the work of Christ, you have an opportunity to do all five things with that truth. So ask yourself, write it down on a piece of paper, put it in your Bible. How am I going to walk in this truth today? There are a lot of little choices that I'm going to make that don't seem very important. How will they be altered by this truth? My destination, Christ-likeness. How will that be affected by the thing I just read? What about roots? How am I going to nourish my soul in this truth so I'm not going to the world for its empty food? What about building? How am I going to build a life on this truth? What kind of life would it look like? How am I going to get a mature grasp of this truth and be established in it? And how am I going to show gratitude to God today for giving me this truth in Christ? What a path. What an adventure lies ahead of every Christian. But you must never believe the lie. It's not just concepts. It's a life. It's walking and being rooted in, built upon, established in, and overflowing with gratitude for the truth of Christ. God help us.
It might be helpful to revisit Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and ask, am I making progress? Have I ever truly begun the journey? And will I run hard, overflowing with gratitude on this path my Savior has made for me? As always, thanks for joining us here on Behold Your God Radio with Dr. John Snyder. John is the author and teacher on Behold Your God, Rethinking God Biblically, a 12-week multimedia Bible study designed for individuals and small groups. You can view the first week of the study for free at beholdyourgod.org.